podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is the weekend. Liverpool are champions of England. They're also champions of Europe and champions of Earth, but they are champions of England for the first time since 1990. It is just unbelievable, unbelievable scenes last night. People just so happy. I've got Siobhan Began, I've got Adam Smith, I've got Josh Sexton, I've got Mike Kearney, and I've got Paul Senior. And Paul, last night, I think just the outpouring, you know, everyone knew it was on the cards, everyone knew it was coming, but it wasn't the same thing until the final whistle went and Manchester City has yet again lost and Liverpool prevail. It was incredible stuff.
Yeah, it was. And Joe, I've had so long to prepare for this because Liverpool were obviously going to be champions and I was the most underprepared for that. I just didn't see City not winning. So I'd told myself all week, I'd had Rob on the phone going, what are your plans for tonight? I was like, I'm just going to watch it in hours, mate. You know, I just think City will win. You know, it's Man City. What I've seen of Man City so far, I thought they would just win every other game until the rest of the season. But I didn't expect to be going, oh God, we're going to win the title here. I better get ready to go and have a nice time. And this is the first Anfield rap show I've ever done from bed. So I had a nice time.
He had a nice time. Mike Kearney, did you have a nice time? How did it feel, champions?
You know what? It's just overwhelming, isn't it? At points last night in that game, I was like, oh well. When De Bruyne equalises, you think there's only one winner. And you're sort of all right with that because you know, like everyone said, I suppose over the past few weeks, it's going to happen. It's when, not if. But the debut, I think it sort of makes it the fact that we've seen us back to our very best against Palace the day before. It's confirmed, you know.
It was important, that wasn't it, Mike? I think in a sense, did it just limp to a bit of a victory against Palace? I don't know. I mean, it would have still felt obviously absolutely fantastic, but you were able to watch them against Palace and think, this is the best team. This is the best team you could see. This is the best team you could conceive of.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd ever say a behind closed doors game would be up there as one of my favourite games of the season. But it's bang there. Like, they played as if we were there. It was, let's be honest, it was roasting. Like, it was really hot. And they were just chasing Everton. 80 odd minutes on the clock, 4-0 up, chasing Everton. It was just Liverpool at their best. And the fact that we've seen it the day before, you know, it sort of reignited the fire. It was always going to be amazing, and it was. And you know, we get to relive it all again once everything's back to normal, and we can go and hug and be with everyone. But the fact that, you know, we see us at our imperious best, no one can live with us. Absolutely, no one can live with us. And Man City are 23 points behind us for a reason, and that's because we're the fucking best in the world.
We're the best in the world, Josh Sexton. That is the reality of this Liverpool team. And that's what it took in the end. There's been sides that have won Premier League titles you couldn't make an argument for plausibly a best in the world. But this Liverpool team, you can. We will. They've done the thing that we needed them to do, and they've done it by not just being quite good for a period. They've done it by being the best in the world for 2 years.
Yeah, and look, and you've got to sort of, you know, mirror City's achievements with that as well. The reason that Liverpool have had to be this good is because of how good Man City were, and you know, over a few seasons, the amount of points that they've been able to gather is basically the reason that Liverpool are breaking records now. That's been Liverpool's obstacle is to compete with this club who've got all this money from just down the East Lanks, as they say. But they've not just climbed over that obstacle. They've absolutely dismantled it, and that's what you sort of hope happens from now. I heard some of the lads in the interviews last night just sort of discussing the going on and breaking the records now, and that's so important for them to go and do for them to now, you know, they've cemented themselves in Liverpool history as you know, Liverpool's potentially greatest ever team, the first team to ever win the Premier League, the team to win the 19th title, but they can go and cement themselves as one of the greatest teams ever now as well.
They part of this, Adam, you know, when Josh mentioned City there and it contextualises it in a sense. For me, the thing that everyone's got to really take a breath on and push on the matter of, and not just Liverpool supporters, but it will need to be Liverpool supporters, is the brilliance of the manager. everyone else in the country decided you couldn't get near the City side. Everybody else was happy to let Guardiola win three titles in 3 years and act like, well, what we were all meant to do, it's not fair. And Liverpool haven't done that. They've absolutely thrown the gauntlet down to City. And it starts for me, it starts when we go for, we beat them 4-3 at Anfield, and we make it crystal clear then we're coming for them. And last night was the end of a long process of us taking them.
He's just an incredible man in every sense. And I think we all, it's so funny looking back now, and you think we all abided certain managers that we've had in the past. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't dislike Rodgers as much as a lot of other people do. We abided him. We found in him, a lot of people talk about, the comparison between Klopp and Shankly. But for me, I think that the comparative, sort of the best person maybe is with Dalglish, of somebody who's not from the City, but just gets the club, gets every single aspect of what the people of the club and the City are about. He's the most sort of scouse, non-scouser I can think of in terms of his approach to politics, in terms of his approach to belief and what he wants to achieve. And he's come and he's instilled it. And people talk about clubs being built in a manager's image. Well, he's very, very, very much done that. He's built this Liverpool team in his image, and they are relentless. They are positive. They've got a positive mindset. They don't let themselves get dragged down by negatives, as we've seen with the ridiculous response to getting, 97 points and not winning the league. They didn't just let their heads drop. They followed the manager's lead and went, we'll just come back stronger then. And it's brilliant to watch it play out in real time. And you feel, as long as he's at the club, that we've got a very real chance of carrying on winning, because that's his mindset.
There's Siobhan watching them last night and seeing the footage of them. You know, for me, it was startling to see the manager in tears. And that's not because I don't think he's emotional, I do, but all the way through, he's sort of managed to bat back our bullshit, I think, in quite an interesting way. Like I've always said, we do managers in over a period of time. And he's sort of not allowed it to get in. And last night, it felt a little bit like you didn't see that. It wasn't that he hadn't quite allowed it to get in, but he put it all in a box. And the events of last night led to the box being opened a little bit. It was really, really strange to see exactly how emotional he was, exactly how emotional the captain was. I mean, the captain was in tears almost from the moment he was on television, to be quite honest with you. And from there, you know, we've sort of acted as though they've managed to push all of our stuff that we do to them away. And they haven't done that, actually. I think what they've done is they've absorbed it and they've used it. And last night, when you saw that outpouring of emotion, it was like it was that coming to the fore.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, while we've all been kind of losing our heads and, you know, deciding kind of how be best to win it and blah, 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 how would we feel it? They've had a job to do. They've had a job to just carry on and crack on doing. And they've had to wait 3 months to get it finished. And, you know, just like us, I bet you they just probably weren't that mentally prepared for it to happen last night. You know, they probably thought that they were going to get their moment when they were playing. And probably like us, they probably thought it was going to be a bit weird, and then they were just waiting to see what happens when it finally did happen. And lo and behold, it wasn't that weird. And like Adam said, about the manager that gets it. I think we've just got a group of lads who really get it as well. Like, if you take your Hendersons and your Milners and your Robertsons and all that, like, no one's from the City. No one's got like a God-given right to kind of, you know, to respond a certain way or have this outpouring of emotion. But they've worked really hard to do this, and they've embraced every bit of madness that's come their way, and, you know, embraced every bit of madness that is required to be in this City. And yeah, you're right, it's all just come out at once. And they've probably, I'm not thinking straight. They are, their job is done now, and they're probably just like, well, God, what do we do now? Like everyone else, what do we do now? What happens now?
We'll get on to what happens now in a minute, Paul. But just to sort of stick with that last night, I just thought, I mean, they knew enough to go all go together to Formby Hall, which I think was interesting. And it was always in the back of my mind, I thought it might go a certain way.
Way more prepared than me, mate.
They were way more prepared than you. they were just, you know, to see that footage, to see the way in which they all were with one another, to see the joy of them, really. You know, you got to see that togetherness one more time, and you also got to see, you know, a little bit of mischief from them. There's, you know, there's so much in them, and you got to be careful here, because obviously you can always say this about any winning team, but these are our winning lads, and they do just seem like an absolute pleasure to hang around with.
Yeah, they've been model professionals since Jurgen Klopp got here, really. And it's even been that you haven't quite noticed the evolution of the squad, because people have come and go over this period. But there's been sort of like constant themes, and that's, you know, there's players like who won't even get mentioned in the column inches of what's going to be said over these next couple of days about Liverpool. Lads like Adam Lallana, who've almost managed the professionalism in the dressing room. I think you talk about, I've been looking at them coming back from lockdown, and when we were seeing all these the videos of them doing their personal fitness stuff and whatnot, you could just see the absolute professionalism throughout them all. They were all coming back in better shape. You see that picture of Mo Salah when he first came back, and he's an absolute specimen, isn't he? But that's his own personal dedication. He's done that at home. You know, I don't know if he's got a gym in his house or whatnot, but he's gone out of his way to be fitter for the time he comes back. And this is someone who's one of the top five players in world football, and he's had the presence of mind, the humility to go, I'm going to spend this time to get better than what I am, and I'm sharper and fitter. And I think that's, you know, me and Lallana point was just like, I think these lads set the tone for everyone else. So if there is lads who aren't quite as focused as what they are, it's self-policing. How brilliant they are. This is what we do. This is what we're about. We're a professional bunch. We do seem like a sort of good set of lads. And there's no room to get away with anything. And I've sort of enjoyed that theme from throughout, because I think the likes of Lallana, Milner, Henderson, you've seen sort of just take control of that dressing room and go, well, this is what this version of Liverpool is about. So they were talking about, you know, Liverpool having their own way of winning the league back in the 70s and 80s, but this is a new Liverpool. It's a new look Liverpool. You can just take so much pride in them, can't you? Just how good they are.
Last sort of bit on this before we, you know, as we move it along and wrap this up, we'll come on and we'll have a chat about the future in a few minutes on the show, Mike. But there is that sort of, when what Paul says there about them being in amongst themselves, that dedication that they've had, you know, all the way through. I've all the way through the season, I've been saying Sadio Mane wants to win the league more than you. But I've really got the impression that they've been devoted to this for their own professional pride, yes, but also for us, also for the idea of getting to have another parade. But also, you know, we're the lads who are going to do this thing that no one's done for 29 or 30 years. We're the ones who are going to sort this out. It needs sorting out. It's fallen to us. Don't worry about it. We've got it. We'll sort it for you.
Yeah, the attitudes of them all, you know, you can see it in the posts. Robertson was one of the first on last night saying it's for you. Enjoy it. The mentality of them, I know it's bandied about a lot because it's a really catchy slogan that Klopp used, the mentality monsters, and it, you know, often things like that and cliches are generally true for a reason, and that, you know, it's not built on sand. It's absolutely because every one of them is like a really hard working professional, but ultimately, you know, good person, sound lads. They've got each other's backs. They don't crumble on adversity because they've been it. Like the Kiev final would have destroyed many teams. You can point to Madrid last year and look at the reverse, and Tottenham have sort of had a hard time getting over that. Whereas we just stood ourselves off, went back and won the European Cup again, nearly done the league, only didn't do the league because of the team that we've beat to it this season being fantastic. Like Josh said before, you've got to sort of say, if City don't exist, this Liverpool team isn't as good as it is. It probably does enough at some points, but it's just drove itself to something that I don't think anyone ever expected. Like, I know you mentioned before, but it felt like the rest of the Premier League was sort of saying, go on, Man City can have it, and we'll just crack on when Guardiola goes away. We'll just bat on for now as we are, but we you know, we've not done it. And to watch it, like last night, Kenny Klein got me, you know, manager got me, Henderson got me, and it's, for months now we've been told it's going to be different, or it doesn't count, or all this, you know, rubbish from other fans and some parts of the media. And it's absolute rubbish, because like, I still had the best night of my life last night, and I'm going to have another one when it's all back to normal.
When it's all back to normal, we're going to have the best night of our lives. We'll have this, Adam. And I think part of the point about all of this is that we'll have had this journey. And for me, that's the sweetest part of it, really. It has been a journey, and it's not just under Jurgen Klopp that it's been a journey. It's been a journey for all of us, and this has been our lives. And I think it's in a really strange sort of place to phrase that, but it's true. You know, this has been our lives for such a period of time, and the quest is over, in the first sense. The thing that we wanted, we craved, the thing that other people had so many times, the thing that we grew up with the regularity of Liverpool winning, but then we didn't get for 30 years. This one's over. It's ours. We've done that thing.
Yeah. And I think maybe after 30 years, I'd have more of an idea of how to sum it all up, I guess. But it's just so... I've seen people refer to it as 30 years of hurt, and I don't really buy that. I don't get that, because over those 30 years, I've seen Liverpool win FA Cups and League Cups and European Cups, and I've seen the club win the Champions League in such a fashion that it's basically become the best ever match in that competition. And I've seen them do that twice, redefine the draw, what it means to be a good team in that moment. And it's been an incredibly long journey, but it's not been one of hurt. It's none of that hurt me to see us win all those things, missing out on the title a couple of times. Yeah, that hurt. It hurt at the time, but it certainly hurt a lot less than clubs that don't even get close to still challenge. I can tell you that much. And I think the funny thing is, this feels like a really bizarre way to win it behind closed doors and without necessarily being able to be with your mates and all that kind of thing. But we didn't just win the title last night. We won it when Andy Robertson equalised against Aston Villa, and instead of celebrating, he dragged all back to the halfway line. We won it when we demolished Leicester City 4-0 at the King Power in an incredibly impressive performance. We won it when Mo Salah slotted past David De Gea and then ripped his shirt off and stood in front of the cop like a king. We won it time and time again. And truth be told, I think we won it 4.5 years ago when Jurgen Klopp turned up and told us all to change from doubters to believers. We won it then. We've won it again and again and again this season. And all of those moments, everyone will have their own memories of them, even if you weren't around. Maybe you were with your friends and your family, and you have those moments that you'll be able to look back on and remember. And the idea of you'll never walk alone is it's a bit trite sometimes, and it maybe sounds a bit daft, but it's more than just an anthem. It's more than just a motto. It's more than just a song. It's a way of being. And all of us have celebrated those moments together, even when we were apart, to use a phrase from the Anfield Rap video from the other day. We've all celebrated those moments again and again and again and again, and we'll keep celebrating them. And we'll have this memory now, and that 30 years is over. It can no longer be used as a stick to beat us with. And instead, we get to wear it and say, yeah, put an asterisk against it, lads, and talk about the best team you've ever seen, because that's what they are.
Siobhan,
crying again.
Yeah. Siobhan, last season, Liverpool won a Champions League and there was a parade and you conceived a child. I've got a question for you. One, any similar plans? And two, how much are you going to bore that child when you're old about how brilliant this football team was?
That child, God love him, he's just tarred for life, because not only was he born under those circumstances, Liverpool actually lost their only game of the season so far on the day he was born. So it's kind of bookended quite nicely there. and I don't think he's ever going to live it down. No child needs to know how they were conceived, but here we are, here we find ourselves. Oh God, I'm going to bore him to absolute tears because he's going to come into a world where he thinks this happens every year. Born and, you know, the European champions, he's been born as European champions, and he's, you know, when he's here, this has happened, and then he's going to be like, but mom, like, doesn't that happen? Oh God, what are you on about? What were you waiting that long for? It's just going to be amazing because everywhere he goes now, just like everyone else, no one can take this away from him. No one can say, oh, you know, you've never seen anyone win a league in your life. Like, you know, I'm a little bit more than 30, but, you know, no one can say, oh, well, you know, how many leagues have you won in your lifetime kind of thing. He's born into that greatness, and I just couldn't be more proud to board him for the rest of his life, yeah, and to make a show of him for the rest of his life. And absolutely no plans to have any more kids on parade days. My boss texted me last night saying I was actually banned from celebrating because unexpectedly, obviously, I've took a significant amount of time off work, and I'm not allowed to do that again, apparently. So no, that door is closed.
All right.
Well, Paul Senior hasn't had one in a few months, so.
I know, Paul Senior's due, to be quite honest with you. And if not, there'll be an inquiry in Parliament.
No, those days are over. I've learned my lesson. But funny enough, about like just talking about kids was the, like, I was just sort of telling Daisy, my eldest kid, yesterday about sort of the significance of what was going on with the football and why I was excited for the match and stuff. And I said to her, you know, Liverpool can win this trophy and we haven't won this for all my lifetime and whatnot. But boring, to be honest. She just wanted to talk about Disney princesses, but I thought I'd let her know what it was about. And Siobhan said about, you know, her kids being born into a world where they understand winning. And Daisy said to me, oh, does that mean my granddad has to have another star put on his tattoo? And I was like, well, no, not quite, because it's a different trophy. But it was just like, she's four, but she understands that something happens when Liverpool win. And I was like, well, if you'd have been born 10 years ago, you'd have known none of this. So what a lovely thing to sort of see. Yeah, well, Liverpool win, and my dad has to go get another star, or Liverpool. She understands that there's the sort of the process of winning, or how much it means to people, that people go out and get tattoos and stuff of these events. And I just thought to myself, if it's like these kids, like, they're knocking around, they've had to wait a long time for this as well. You know, I'm 33, and this day has only just rolled around, but there's, you know, it's even 15 years, it's just such a long time to wait, isn't it? Even if you weren't born and it was still a, in 2005, if you'd have seen that and you were a kid, you still have to wait 15 years for this one. It's amazing. But yeah, I'm not planning on joining Siobhan and having another kid. No, no way.
It's
going to join me on it.
listen. Josh spoke to Steve Darby earlier in the week. It's getting dropped in here right now, and then we'll be back in a second.
Hi, it's Josh Sexton here for the Weekender. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by former Red, former Academy graduate Steve Darby, as we've had on before, as you all know, from the Derby Rimmer Foundation. And I'm also delighted to be joined by Mike Wilson from Redwood Events as well. First of all, Steve, since you were last on, we spoke to a few of the lads. We had Craig Linfield and Robbie Threlfall on, talking about the 100K in May, and it sounds like it's been a resounding success, to be fair.
It has. It was incredible. It was amazing. Obviously at a time as well, which was tough for everyone, everyone being in lockdown. And it came about, one of my wife's friends, Lisa Hall, wanted to do something for the foundation, and she said she wanted to do the 100K in May. So that was whether it was walking, cycling or running, just to cover 100 kilometres, obviously throughout May. And we messaged a couple of family and friends, and they were on board. And then within a couple of days, it just really gathered momentum and really took off. And the support that we had from it was incredible. Obviously from my family and friends, and Steph's family and friends, and former teammates, and also from Rimmer's family and friends, and Rimmer's old unit down in Whittling in Peterborough. The support that we had was unbelievable. I think we had over 700 700 people involved, which was absolutely incredible, and raised over £200,000 as well, which, as I said before, in a time which was tough for everyone, the support we had was unbelievable.
And there's been some vicious rumours circling around. I think they might have been started by Craig Linfield, but I'm not entirely sure. I'm not going to be the one to gossip on that one. But he says that apparently in the group chat for the event, you were the one sort of giving out the bans to everyone and making sure that everyone was sticking to their targets.
No, obviously we had a group chat going. It was nice because you had obviously some people who were really into the fitness and into the running, and some people were. It gave them motivation to start off. So everyone was really encouraging each other and got behind each other. And it was great to see.
And we're recording this just off the back of the news last week for the Derby Run Foundation. Obviously, some big news about the grants. Do you want to just tell people a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so one of the aims of the foundation was to support individuals and families who are battling MND. And obviously, with the physical side and the emotional side of MND, it has devastating effects, but also financially for families as well. And there comes a time where they might need to adapt the house, whether it's extensions or downstairs bedrooms, downstairs showers. There obviously comes a time when you need a wheelchair, and all this can be expensive. So the support that we've had, so over the last 7-8 months since we launched, has been amazing. And fortunately, we donated £150,000 over the years to the MNDA to process grants on our behalf. So, you know, to donate £150,000 was fantastic for the foundation, a proud moment. And most importantly, to be able to help those who are battling MND to give them that support.
And now, Mike, I know you're someone who's been involved with a lot of charity work down the years. Obviously, I was part of the Home from Hillsborough walk we did a few years ago to raise money for Alder Hey and things like that. But how did your involvement with the Derby Rimmer Foundation first come about?
Well, this happened through Tony Kelly at Bolton Wanderers. Tony obviously knows Stephen and was talking about Stephen's brother wanting to do some sort of run and offered my services to help him plan it. And this kind of morphed into we had a big walk last year, Steps of Stephen, which was a kind of 2-day walk. Lots of people walking lots of miles in absolutely ridiculously awful conditions at the end of September, and it grew from there. You know, I mean, we got the opportunity to meet Stephen and went up to. Glasgow with Tony Kelly and John McGinley to meet Stephen Gerrard, and kind of got to know Stephen as a person, and he's probably one of the most inspiring people I've ever met. So myself and my brother-in-law Woody, who've been arranging these kind of charity walks for a while, became incredibly committed to supporting Stephen and the foundation, and we had a big walk planned for this year, but unfortunately social distancing means we've had to adapt it.
So talk to us about that adaptation, because I know there's still plans to do a sort of second but an even more grander Steps for Stephen walk, but there's also going to be a sort of one which is a bit more suited to the lockdown.
Yeah, we had a plan this year which was going to be 5 24-hour walks in Yorkshire, Glasgow, London, the Midlands, which you would have been joining us, Josh, and finishing off as we did last year in kind of Lancashire, finishing Liverpool. And the premise for our walks tends to be a team of people all either walking or spending the time huddled together drinking garage costas in a minibus. And that's the part we can't do. We've put that to next year. We will absolutely do that. And we'll be even more committed to doing that when 2021 comes round. But we didn't want to go this year without doing something. So we've created this event, Darbs Goes Home. Essentially, if we take the route from Bradford to Liverpool via Bolton's, three of the major clubs that Steve's been involved with, and that gives us a distance of 61 miles. And it's a token idea in that we then plan to walk a distance akin to Bradford to Bolton on a Saturday weekend in August, and then the remaining Bolton to Liverpool on the Sunday. That's all split down into various different stages of usually 5 miles, and then the bit at the end that would finish off the distance. And we've got people walking all around the world. All people do is sign up to walk that virtually. And say, well, I'm going to do my 5 miles. There's a stage that starts at 10 o'clock on the Sunday morning. I'll do that one. But I'm going to be doing it in, we've got a lad doing it in Atlanta. I've got family in Florida, and five different groups of them are getting involved. Woody, my usual oppo on these events, is going to be in Gran Canaria, so he's going to do his bit. There's more people in Spain. There's another lad in Portugal. We've got lots going on in Glasgow and Edinburgh. Plenty in Liverpool, and we're hoping just to try and get 500 people involved all around the world, just to get involved and raise awareness of MND and the foundation and the great work that they're doing. Yeah, so that's absolutely our plan. All very socially distanced.
Yes, amazing work from yourself as well, Mike and Steve. I'm sure you'll agree on that. And I don't know how close you've been to the sort of operations of this as well, Steve, but you'll sort of notice the meticulous planning that Mike and Woody put into these, and it's massively impressive, to be honest.
It is. It's amazing. I think, obviously, as Mike mentioned, we met through Tony Kelly, who I met and got to know really well from my time at Bolton. And as soon as I met Mike and Woody, they couldn't do enough to help myself and them and support the foundation. And, you know, Mike and Woody are patrons of the foundation. And it's great that the support that the pair of them show us, it's incredible. And as you mentioned, the planning that goes in and the time and effort and the sacrifices they make, it's really special. And, you know, even to get the walk going virtually this year is a great effort from Mike and Woody. And, you know, to raise that awareness would be fantastic. As I said, to keep it going this year and then to do the walk in 2021, you know, it's great for the foundation and great awareness.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mike, for people who are listening to this who maybe want to get involved or just help out, how can they go about doing that?
Well, the easiest way, we've got a website, redwoodevents.co.uk. There's a Darbs Goes Home page on there, and then there's about four or five subpages with everything you need to know in there. There's a Facebook group called Steps of Stephen if people want to join that, and we tend to post a lot on Twitter under the hashtag S4S, Darbs Goes Home. There's three or four links to do it. You'll have seen us attached on Twitter with Darby Rimmer tagged in there as well. So we'd love loads of people. Are we going to have a team of guys from the Anfield Rap joining us on that weekend then, Josh?
I'm sure I can definitely get some of the lads involved. Yeah, I'm sure we can do that. It's obviously for an amazing cause as well. And as Mike and Steve so said throughout there, it'd be great to see your support for the Derby Rimmer Foundation. We'll include the links that Mike talked about there in the description of this show, and make sure that all the details you need are included. It'd be great to see as many people get involved in that as possible. And I know Mike will hold me to getting a team of Anfield Rap lads together now, so the pressure's on me to do that. But thanks very much to Steve and Mike for joining us, and I'll hand you it back over to the lads now.
Welcome back. We'll begin to wrap this up and let you all get on with your lives. There's lots and lots of stuff on the Anfield Wrap, and there will be right the way through the day. We are ever so slightly in one sense making it up as we go along, not least because the weather's turned gangster on us, but it didn't do it last night. And that's the next thing about it all, Josh, is that I'm really pleased people got to enjoy themselves. You know, I think it would have been, if there had been a few weeks earlier, it would have been tougher through the lockdown process. The mixed messaging from the government actually arguably helps everyone just be able to cut loose for a night and then go back to normality. It's important that people do remain safe and think about their own safety. But at the same time, I know for me, it was great to see friends. However briefly, it was great to be able to share the moments with people.
Yeah, it was a really interesting sort of mix, because it was like, you know, what we've talked about in terms of the 30-year wait. It was the release of that, but it's also the release of, you know, all these months spent in lockdown, all these months spent away from our friends, these sort of days where we thought that, you know, we thought that this day might not come. We thought that Liverpool might not be crowned Premier League champions. It wasn't just some lads from Football Twitter talking about null and void. It was members of the media and things. It almost seemed like a genuine possibility at one point, and you sort of wondered whether this day would ever come, this day we've been waiting our whole lives for, where Liverpool are crowned champions of England. So it was nice to sort of see people go and be able to enjoy that. It was actually my mum's birthday yesterday. So I was sort of, you know, locked within the confines of our house, but that almost made it a bit more of a sort of special occasion for me. That's memories going to live with me forever, that on my mum's birthday in 2020, Liverpool won the league. And I think that'll be the same for her. I said to her at one point, I was like, sorry, these red bastards have ruined your big day. And she said, no, they've made my big day, which I sort of thought was everything summed up, really.
I don't want to turn this into a solid airing of grievances and webbing of bastards, Paul, but it is a real blow for the null and voiders, a real blow for people who have tried everything they can to talk Liverpool down, to talk the achievement down, to talk the side down, to say it's VAR, to say it's this, that, or the other. They've won it as early as anyone ever has in terms of number of games played. There are a spectacular number of points clear of Manchester City. It's utterly ridiculous, the table, when you stop to look at it, to see that this team is 23 points clear at this stage of proceedings. It's crazy to look at. You know, everyone else in the division, bar Wolves, has lost at least 8 games. Liverpool have only lost 1. Those who are determined to decry this Liverpool side, to stop it by any means necessary, to cheapen it, they've got no answer, they've got no line, they've got no arguments. This is how good Liverpool are.
What an achievement in terms of getting this points tally so far. I can only dream to say I'd love us to get this 107 points, because it'll never be touched. It probably will never be touched by us. You know, even as brilliant as we are, I just can't see anyone ever doing this again. And as I said earlier, in the year on the Anfield Wrap about Manchester City setting a target that they couldn't attain themselves, you know, and Liverpool, you know, rose to the challenge of being a 100-point team, or a centurion. Well, we're going to surpass that. Don't be putting asterisks next to this. So the only asterisks next to it is best ever. And insurmountable challenge, if that's one. Sorry, I'm getting a visitor, Daisy. I'm on the phone.
It's all right, Daisy. Hiya, Daisy.
Right. Can Daddy do the show, yeah? they've been such a brilliant thing to watch, but don't ever write them off, don't talk them down, because this Liverpool team is the best ever. That's the only thing you should remember from this, not VAR, not nonsense, not even COVID-19. Just remember that this Liverpool team is one of the best you've ever watched.
They're going to take some stopping, Mike. I mean, you know, we'll do next season as we get closer to the next season, but you already know that Guardiola will be thinking to himself, it's going to be uphill this to overturn what's currently a 23-point gap. It might be different by the time the season finishes. To overturn that gap in one season is going to take some doing, but actually you got to see last night what Liverpool are so good at and what Manchester City are less good at. Liverpool deal with adversity brilliantly, and they manage to turn situations that are troubling or difficult around. It's what this team's been amazing at all the way through the campaign, and it's what City haven't been good at. They play some good stuff at times last night against Chelsea, but they were unable to do it. And, you know, from their point of view, it's those 8 losses, 8 defeats that you can't have that. You just cannot. You couldn't have that. I mean, let's be clear, you couldn't have that 10, 15 years ago, but you can't have that now. You cannot lose that many games, and there's a lot of work for City to do if they're going to hunt us down.
Yeah, and look, their situation at the moment with the appeal to European football, that's going to have a massive impact on it, isn't it? Because let's be honest, you know, if you kept De Bruyne there, Raheem Sterling, you know, they're not shy in making a few noises about, well, if it is upheld, they might be going elsewhere. And, you know, if that is the case, then from having to do a lot, all of a sudden becomes, wow, we it's not just a lot anymore. Is this doable? And look, they've got the resources and stuff, and I'm sure next season will be different to this in terms of Chelsea being better, a little bit better. Manchester United, obviously, there's lots of noise about them being better, but it's not just a case of being better for City or any other. They've got to be ridiculous. They have to be ridiculous on the off chance that we aren't. And even when we're not ridiculous, we're going to be somewhere near 90 points no matter what, because you know, there's just I get it now. I do, because I know why the Asterix chat and all this is going about, because I remember being a lad growing up watching United just win, and it was, oh, there's got to be some other reason why they're just winning, and it's not. It's just because, you know, they're the best and they win. We're the best and we win, and, you know, it's not a one-off. It's not a flash in the pan. You know, European Cup last year, European Cup final the year before, probably could have and would have been a double in any other season with the European Cup and League. You know, we're probably a bit unlucky not to be in the European Cup still, but we've won the league. We could declare 31 games played and still win the league because it's done. No one's ever going to do that ever again. Ever again.
What they've done, Siobhan, is downright incredible, and you know, you don't get to do this, and you set yourselves up to be, you know, to really, really need people to take a big run at you, and you do it through making a series of big decisions from the manager, but also what the players have done. They've treated every single game this season like a cup final. They've literally played 31 cup finals. That's the way they've gone about the business, and it's what you've seen from them, and it's why they've been this good, and it's why they've got everything they deserve.
Absolutely, like when you said earlier about how this started, we won it for the first time when Klopp joined. Like, you know, he's not being shy about going, this is a problem, here's my solution, done. And he's been proven right time and time again. And what he's done is he's got, obviously, a mentality into these lads that's like, well, only absolute perfection will do here, and we're not settling for anything less. Someone referenced the Aston Villa game beforehand, and I think that was probably the epitome of it, where it would be really tempting to just play, we were going to lose at some point, or we were not going to win at some point, but they didn't. They just absolutely dragged it out. And I've never at any point thought that that wouldn't happen, which is weird. There's been this like air of calm all season where it's like, they're going to do it. They're going to just sort it. They're just going to box it. And here we are with, what, 7 games to go, and it's just completely and utterly boxed. And that's because they've just not settled for anything less. And you were talking earlier about how, you know, they've had to kind of, the criticism from the null and voids, if you like. It's almost like every time I hear, think about it or see it, I think of, like, you know, the change curve, like the grief change curve. That's what I think it's a bit like for other people, because they have to find something new at every stage of their grief. And I just wonder, like, what are they going to do now? Can they just be quiet? Just shut up. Or is there going to be something else now? Is it going to be a case of, oh, well, you know, oh, God, imagine celebrating a league that was won behind closed doors. Well, don't imagine it. It's boss.
It feels a little bit of a harsh new thing to add to the grief curve, that just the last, shut up. Lost, just shut up.
Listen, it's done. It's the acceptance bit.
They're going to have to accept it. Everyone's going to have to accept it. Listen, thank you very much indeed to Siobhan Began, to Josh Sexton, to Paul Senior, to Mike Kearney, and to Adam Smith. Everyone's going to have to accept it. The fact of the matter is this, Liverpool are champions.
Thank you for listening to the Anfield Wrap. Listen, you're probably going to get bored of this over the next few weeks. We're putting this at the end of every show. It's Neil Atkinson here, whether I hosted this show or not, to ask you to vote for us in the British Podcast Awards. To do that, you go to britishpodcastawards.com/vote, and there you'll find it is the Listener's Choice Award, supported by BBC Sounds. If you search for the Anfield Wrap in the box that comes up, you will get the Anfield Wrap, or TAW also gets us the Anfield Wrap as well. So TAW gets us the Anfield Wrap, or the Anfield Wrap in there. And then from there, if you vote for us, you'll then get an email that you'll have to click to confirm the vote. And then from there, you've registered the vote, and we appreciate it very much. We've never won this award in the British Podcast Award. We've come second 3 consecutive years. We discovered that last season we were a little bit closer than we thought last year. Good Lord, not everything works like that, Neil. And so we thought, well, let's give it a real go. We'll give it a big push this time out. So hopefully you've been able to do that for us, and hopefully you're happy to do so as well. We do always appreciate the support in any way in which it comes at the Anfield Wrap, and especially through what's obviously been a difficult time for a number of podcasts, for obvious reasons. Anyway, thank you very much indeed, and take care.
Sports Social Podcast Network.